Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Haribol, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribol.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivrajika Acharya Stotra Sata His Divine Grace Abhay Charanar Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Lakshmi Narasimha Ananta Devi Shri Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai Shri Shri Gandharvika Giridhari Ki Jai Shri Man Mahaprabhu Ki Jai श्री नरसिंह चतुर्दशी महामहोत्सव की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग की जय
Hare Krishna. We request all the devotees to kindly maintain silence during the class. Kindly switch off or keep your mobiles in silent mode. And if there are any children, I request Matajis to kindly take them out. Please don't disturb the class.
Hare Krishna. Tama mobile galannu silent mode idi athwa switch off maadi. Hagu poshakarige vinanti tama chikka makkalannu parvachana da kendrinda horagade karkondu hogi anta vinanti. ಅದೇ ಪ್ರವಚನ ನಡಿಬೇಕಾದ್ರೆ ಸಂಪೂರ್ಣ ನಿಶಾಂತಿ
ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರೋನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತ ಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮೋ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೆ ದೇವೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೆ ಮೂಕಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುನ್ ದೀನ ತಾರಿಣಂ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೋಭ್ಯವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದಾನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮನೇ ಗೌರತ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಪಂಚತತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪ ಸ್ವರೂಪಕಂ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಖ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಶಕ್ತಿಕಂ ಆರಾಧ್ಯ ಭಗವಾನ್ ವ್ರಜೇಶತನಯಸ್ తద్ధామ వృందావనం రమ్యా కాచిదుపాసనా వ్రజవధో వర్గేణయా కల్పిత శ్రీమద్భాగవతం ప్రమాణమమలం ప్రేమాపుమర్థో మహాన్ శ్రీచైతన్య మహాప్రభోర్మతమిదం తత్రాదరహన పరః హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. Today is the very holy and auspicious day of Sri Narasimha Chaturdashi. It is the day when Lord Sri Krishna appeared as Lord Narasimha Dev to save his dear devotee Prahlad Maharaj. The Lord is so kind and so merciful that even for one devotee's sake, He is willing to come all the way from Vaikuntha here into the material world. He doesn't think that I will come only when there are many, many devotees. What is the need for me to come just for one devotee? No, Krishna is known as Bhakta Vatsala. Bhakta Vatsala means that he is very affectionate to his devotees. Just like a cow is affectionate to her calf. The word Vatsala comes from Vatsa. Generally, Vatsa means calf. And an elder person also sometimes may address a younger person like a child as Vatsa, out of affection. Because the Supreme Lord is so affectionate to his devotees, he doesn't feel it is a trouble at all for him to come all the way from Vaikuntha just to save one devotee. And also we must remember that the Supreme Lord is all powerful and He can do anything just sitting in Vaikuntha. He need not come personally into the material world to do anything. He is so powerful. He also has many, many agents here in this material world. And at His bidding, they can do anything. But still, because there is a relationship of love between the Lord and His devotee, the Lord is very, very happy to come just for the sake of His devotee. And thus, He proves to be correct the name that His devotees have given Him, which is Bhakta Vatsala. So the Lord came here not so much for killing Hiranyakashipu as He did for saving Prahlad. I think you announce in Kannada, if anybody has to leave, let them leave now. Not if anybody is getting up there. If they go there. And if they want to sit, they should sit and not hit the man.
They can go. Nirdaragavan Virantayanandre, you have a Prachana attend Madhavakandre, Igla Kutkoli, Ila Hagada Hagubakandre, Igla Hogi. ಪ್ರವಚನ ಮಧ್ಯದಲ್ಲಿ ಹೋಗಬಾರ್ದು. ಹೊರಗಡೆ ಹೋಗ್ಬೇಕಂದ್ರೆ ಈಗಲೇ ಹೋಗಿ, ಇಲ್ಲಾಂದ್ರೆ ಕೂತ್ಕೊಂಡ್ರೆ ಸಂಪೂರ್ಣ ಪ್ರವಚನ ಅಟೆಂಡ್ ಮಾಡಿ ಹೋಗಿ.
ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ನೌ. ವಿ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಕಲ್ಚರ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ದ ಭಾಗವತ ಕಲ್ಚರ್.
ನಮ್ಮಲ್ಲಿ ಒಂದು ಸಂಸ್ಕೃತಿ ಇರಬೇಕು, ಭಾಗವತ ಸಂಸ್ಕೃತಿ ಇರಬೇಕು.
ವೆನ್ ಟಾಕ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್, ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸಡನ್ಲಿ ಗೆಟ್ ಅಪ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಕ್.
ಕೃಷ್ಣನ ಬಗ್ಗೆ ಒಂದು ಪ್ರವಚನ ನಡೀಬೇಕಾದ್ರೆ ಆ ಪ್ರವಚನದ ಮಧ್ಯದಲ್ಲಿ ಯಾವತ್ತೂ ಇದು ಹೋಗಬಾರದು.
ಸೊ ಇಫ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಲೀವ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸಮ್ ರೀಸನ್ ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ಸ್ಟೇ ಔಟ್ ಸೈಡ್ ಸೊ ದಟ್ ದೆನ್ ದ ಟಾಕ್ ದ ಡಿಸ್ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಥಾ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಗೋ ಆನ್ ವಿದೌಟ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟರ್ಬೆನ್ಸ್.
ನಮ್ಗೇನಾಗ ಹೋಗಬೇಕಾದಂತ ಅವಶ್ಯಕತೆ ಇದ್ದಲ್ಲಿ ಈಗಲೇ ಹೊರಗಡೆ ಹೋಗಿರ್ಬೇಕು, ಯಾಕಂದ್ರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಥೆ ಮಧ್ಯದಲ್ಲಿ ಯಾವುದೇ ತೊಡಕು ತೊಂದರೆ ಆಗಬಾರ್ದು.
ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಕಲ್ಚರ್, ವಿ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಗಿವ್ ಡ್ಯೂ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಟು ದ ಟಾಕ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್.
ಈ ನಮ್ಮ ಸಂಸ್ಕೃತಿ ಏನಂದ್ರೆ ಈಗ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಥೆ ಬಗ್ಗೆ ನಾವು ತುಂಬಾ ಒಂದು ಮಹತ್ವ ಕೊಡಬೇಕು.
ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಫಾರ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ರಿಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಸಿಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಪೇಷಂಟ್ಲಿ ಹಿಯರ್ ದ ಟಾಕ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ.
ಭಗವಂತನಿಗೆ ಗೌರವ ಕೊಡುವ ಒಂದು ವಿಧಾನ ಏನಂದ್ರೆ ಕೂತು ಭಗವಂತನ ಕಥೆಯನ್ನು ಗಮನ ಕೊಟ್ಟು ಕೇಳೋದು.
ಸೊ ವಿ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟಿಟ್ಯೂಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕಲ್ಚರ್.
ಸೊ ಈ ಸಂಸ್ಕೃತಿಯನ್ನು ನಾವು ಪಾಲನೆ ಯಾವಾಗಲೂ ಮಾಡಬೇಕು.
ವೆನ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಔಟ್ ಸೈಡ್ ದ ಕಂಟ್ರಿ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಕಾಮನ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ವಿ ಫೈಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಕಲ್ಚರ್. ಸೊ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಕಮ್ ಇನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗೋ ಔಟ್ ಅಟ್ ವಿಲ್.
ಈಗ ಹೊರದೇಶಗಳಲ್ಲಾದ್ರೆ ಒಂದು ಸಂಸ್ಕೃತಿ ಇಲ್ಲ, ಆದ್ರಿಂದ ಅವ್ರು ಯಾವಾಗ ಬೇಕಂದ್ರೆ ಅವಾಗ ಬರ್ತಾರೆ, ಯಾವಾಗ ಬೇಕು ಅಂದ್ರೆ ಅವಾಗ ಹೋಗ್ತಾರೆ.
ನ್ಯೂ ಕಮರ್ಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸ್ಟೇ ಔಟ್ ಸೈಡ್ ದೇ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸ್ಟೇ.
ಈಗ ಹೊರಗಡೆ ಹೊರಗಡೆಯಿಂದ ಬರ್ತಾ ಇರೋರು ಹೊರಗಡೆಯಿಂದ ಏರಿ, ಯಾಕಂದ್ರೆ ಇಲ್ಲಿ ಆಗ್ಲೇ ಜಾಗ ಇಲ್ಲ.
ಇನ್ ಇಂಗ್ಲೆಂಡ್ ದ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಸೋ ಅರ್ಜೆಂಟ್ ದಟ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ನೌ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ವುಡ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಅಪ್ ಗೋ ಇನ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕರ್ಸ್. ಆಲ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಲೆಕ್ಚರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ವೆರಿ ಫ್ರಸ್ಟ್ರೇಟೆಡ್.
ಇಂಗ್ಲೆಂಡ್ ದೇಶದಲ್ಲಿ ಯಾರೇ ಪ್ರವಚನ ಕೊಡ್ತಾ ಇರಲಿ, ಪ್ರವಚನ ಮಧ್ಯದಲ್ಲಿ ಭಕ್ತರು ಅಥವಾ ಜನ ಬರ್ತಾ ಇದ್ರು ಹೋಗ್ತಾ ಇದ್ರು, ತುಂಬಾ ತೊಂದರೆ ಕೊಡ್ತಾ ಇದ್ರು.
ಸೊ ಒನ್ ಟೈಮ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ವೆಂಟ್ ಆನ್ ಅ ಟ್ರಿಪ್ ಆನ್ ಅ ಬೋಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ರಿವರ್.
ಒಂದ್ಸರಿ ಭಕ್ತರೆಲ್ಲ ಒಂದು ನದಿಯಲ್ಲಿ ಒಂದು ದೋಣಿಯಲ್ಲಿ ಹೋದ್ರು.
ಸೊ ಲಾಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೀರ್ತನ್ ಸತ್ಸಂಗ್ ಪ್ರವಚನ ವಾಸ್ ಹೆಲ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಬೋಟ್.
ಆ ದೋಣಿಯಲ್ಲಿ ಸತ್ಸಂಗ ಪ್ರವಚನ ಕೀರ್ತನೆ ಎಲ್ಲ ಮಾಡ್ತಾ ಇದ್ರು.
ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಸ್ಪೀಕರ್ ಹೂ ವಾಸ್ ಅ ಸನ್ಯಾಸಿ ಸೆಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಲೆಕ್ಚರ್ ವೇರ್ ನೋಬಡಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಅಪ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಲೆಫ್ಟ್.
ಆಗ ಪ್ರವಚನ ಕೊಡ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದ ಸನ್ಯಾಸಿ ಹೇಳಿದ್ರಂತೆ ಒಂದೇ ಪ್ರವಚನ ಮಧ್ಯದಲ್ಲಿ ಯಾರು ಎದ್ದೋಗ್ಲಿಲ್ಲ.
ಬಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಇನ್ ಇಂಡಿಯಾ ದಿಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟಿಂಗ್.
ನೋಡಿ ಈಗ ಈಗ ಕಾಲ ಎಷ್ಟು ಹಾಳಾಗಿದೆ ಅಂದ್ರೆ ಭಾರತದಲ್ಲೂ ಸಹಿತ ನಾವು ಈ ಸಂಸ್ಕೃತಿ ಪಾಲನೆ ಮಾಡ್ತಾ ಇಲ್ಲ.
ಸೊ ನೌ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದಿಸ್ ನೋಬಡಿ ಕಮ್ ಇನ್ ನೋಬಡಿ ಗೋ ಔಟ್.
ಸೊ ಈಗ ಇನ್ಮೇಲೆ ಯಾರು ಹೊರಗಡೆ ಬರಬೇಡಿ, ಒಳಗಿದ್ದರೆ ಯಾರು ಹೊರಗಡೆ ಹೋಗಬೇಡಿ.
ಅನ್ಲೆಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಅನ್ ಎಮರ್ಜೆನ್ಸಿ,
ತುಂಬಾ ಎಮರ್ಜೆನ್ಸಿ ಮಾತ್ರ ಹೋಗ್ಬೋದು, ಇಲ್ಲ ಅಂದ್ರೆ ಫಾಲೋ ಮಾಡಿ.
ಡೋಂಟ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ನರಸಿಂಹ ದೇವ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವಾಚಿಂಗ್. ದ ಕರ್ಟನ್ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ವಾಚಿಂಗ್.
ಈ ಕರ್ಟನ್ ಹಾಕಿದ್ರು ಸಹಿತ ನರಸಿಂಹದೇವರು ನೋಡ್ತಾ ಇದಾರೆ ಎಲ್ಲ ಏನಾಗ್ತಾ ಇದೆ ಅಂತ.
ಓಕೆ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ.
ಐ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬೀನ್ ಅ ಟೀಚರ್ ಇನ್ ಮೈ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ಲೈಫ್, ಸೊ ಸ್ಟ್ರಿಕ್ಟ್ ವಿತ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ನರಸಿಂಹದೇವ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೋ ಕೈಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಸೇಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ. ಯು ಸಿ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಇನ್ ವೈಕುಂಠ. ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಮಿಲಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಮಿಲಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಮಿಲಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಶಾರ್ಟೇಜ್. ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಲೆಟ್ ದೆಮ್ ಗೋ, ಲೆಟ್ ದೆಮ್ ಕಮ್. ಐ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ಟಿಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ಸ್. ಸಂಬಡಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಮ್ಯಾನೇಜ್ ದಿಸ್. If we are not strict, nothing will change, isn't it? So, in the Vaikuntha world where the Lord resides permanently, eternally, it is not that He has shortage of devotees. because there are unlimited number of pure devotees serving him in the spiritual world. But just see, just for saving one devotee, he comes here. Can you imagine the extent of the Lord's love for us? Sometimes we feel hesitant to go to a festival in a long distance. If we are living at one end of Bangalore, we think, oh, going so far to the temple for the Lord's festival. Or tomorrow there is a pravachana, a lecture, a kirtana. Oh, it is so far. So we go, we hesitate to do that because of the time, because of the distance. But the Lord is coming all the way from Vaikuntha here. He doesn't see, it's such a long distance. And I'm going only for one person. This is the nature of the Lord's qualities. So the relationship between the devotee and the Lord is defined by love. This is called bhakti. There is nothing apart from bhakti in the relationship between the Lord and his devotee. Prahlad is the example, ideal example of a pure devotee. After Lord Narasimhadev appeared before Prahlad, he asked Prahlad, I am very, very pleased with you. You can ask me for any benediction you want, and I will fulfill your desires. And Prahlad Maharaj replied, he said, my dear Lord, I am not a businessman. I have not come here to do business with you, that I will do some worship and then you will bless me with some money or some name and fame or a big house or something like that. No. I have come here to serve you only for your pleasure and for no other reason. Some other living entities are coming to participate in Narasimha Chaturdashi festival. They are also to be shown mercy. They are also special because they are coming here in this festival time. So Prahlad Maharaj replied that I am not a businessman. So this is bhakti. This is real bhakti. There is a difference between ordinary worship in this world and pure bhakti. The goal of life is pure bhakti. You please sit down. It will take many years to change things. It will not work out. We have a lot of work to do. There is a difference between ordinary religion, ordinary worship on one hand, and pure bhakti on the other hand. Commonly it is understood that there are four goals of life: dharma, artha, kama, moksha. This dharma in this context means ordinary religiosity. Material religiosity, that means religion performed like a business, meaning that I will worship the Lord and he will give me something in return. He will make my business prosper. He will get my daughter or son married. Maybe I will get large dowry also with that. And then he will make my son get a good job and go to America, settle down. Or so many material things. So this is not real dharma. It is ordinary material dharma. So this dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So such dharma is performed for the sake of artha. Artha means wealth. And that wealth we require for what purpose? The ordinary person in the world does not understand that wealth is Lakshmi. And Lakshmi is the property of Lord Narayan. And therefore all Lakshmi or all wealth must be used in the service of Lord Narayan or Lord Narasimha. That they do not understand. So they think that Lakshmi or wealth has to be used for their own enjoyment, kama. So dharma, artha, kama. Kama means worldly enjoyment. So people are performing religious activities so they can earn money, so they can enjoy life with lot of sense enjoyment. This is the general thinking of ordinary people of this world. And finally, when one comes to the point of little knowledge, one realizes that this worldly enjoyment is futile. I should now get out of the cycle of birth and death. And this is called moksha. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha, these are the four purusharthas, four ordinary goals of life. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us that there is a panchama purushartha. There is a fifth goal of life, which is the actual goal, the ultimate goal of life. And that is called prema bhakti. Pure bhakti like that of Prahlad. And especially like that of the residents of Vrindavan for Lord Krishna. So such pure devotion is the ultimate goal of our life. It is the most exalted, pure, sublime and wonderful thing we can ever hope to achieve in our life. There is no higher achievement than that. And the nature of such bhakti and the reason that it becomes so special in the eyes of Lord Krishna or Lord Narasimha is that there is no material desire, no selfish interest. There is only one desire in the devotee's heart. How can I please the Supreme Lord? How can I make him happy? How can I serve him nicely? That is the only thought in the devotee's mind. The devotee is not at all concerned about his or her material well-being. This is the situation of Sri Prahlad. Even though his demoniac father Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him and harm him in so many ways, but Prahlad had complete faith on the Lord. And he said, whatever my Lord wants to do with me, this body also belongs to him. If he wants to destroy this body, then who am I to object? If he wants to preserve this body, then that is his will. So Prahlad Maharaj was very, very calm and composed, even when his father was trying to kill him. It is not an ordinary thing for a father to want to kill his son. Even in this material world, even amongst non-devotees, it is not a very common thing. It does happen. Fathers kill sons, sons kill father. These things happen in history, in the world also it happens. But it is not so common. And very rarely do you find that a father is willing to kill a son who is only 5 years old. Helpless, innocent boy. But Hiranyakashipu did not think that Prahlad was innocent. He thought this boy is going to be the cause of the destruction of my dynasty and he is going to be the cause of my death. And Prahlad was completely unmoved. The times when Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad was only the later part, the last part of the harassment that Hiranyakashipu put his son through. Hiranyakashipu was speaking many, many harsh words and dealing harshly with Prahlad even before. But each time Prahlad was unconcerned and he was fearless. Now Hiranyakashipu was practically the most powerful person in this universe. Even the demigods, the devatas like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, they were so afraid of Hiranyakashipu. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that every time Hiranyakashipu even raised his eyebrows while looking at the demigods, they would get afraid. Such was his power. So naturally, when we become so powerful, when we don't have any competitor in front of us, and there is no match to our power and strength, then we become fearless. So Hiranyakashipu was practically fearless in this world because he had nobody who could stand in front of him. But to his utter dismay and shock, he found that his own son, who was only 5 years old, was opposing him and was worshipping who Hiranyakashipu thought was his enemy, Lord Vishnu. Now just imagine how frustrating it must have been for Hiranyakashipu. The whole universe is bowing down before him. Today we are concerned about unemployment. Many people are saying political battles are fought for jobs and so on in different countries of the world. But we should know that during Hiranyakashipu's time, employment that he caused cannot be caused in today's times, because he caused employment all over the universe. All the demigods were without jobs. Because whatever was the work of the demigods, Hiranyakashipu was doing single-handedly by himself. So there was no work for the demigods to do. Indra is in charge of rainfall, so Hiranyakashipu said, "You go behind, let me take charge of rainfall." Similarly, Chandra, Varuna, Agni, etc., each of them have a certain department in the universal administration. But Hiranyakashipu made all of them unemployed. And they all went into hiding out of fear of Hiranyakashipu. Such a powerful demon. And here was his own son, only 5-year-old tender little boy, who was completely fearless and who openly worshipped his own enemy. So Hiranyakashipu did not know what to do. He tried in many ways to speak good words to him, nice kind words, but Prahlad would not change. So Hiranyakashipu was thinking that he is like this proverbial dog's tail that is not straightening. So the demoniac people, they always think the devotees are somewhat abnormal. And the devotees understand that the non-devotees are abnormal. So Hiranyakashipu was really perplexed how to handle this little boy. I can handle the big demigods, but I cannot handle this own son of mine. What should I do? And he slowly, when he saw that he was not able to kill his son and harm him, he actually began to start getting fearful. For the first time, he experienced real fear. What is this boy? What is he made of? What is so special about this boy that he is not, even one hair on his body is not getting touched by the fire I am putting him in or the other weapons I am subjecting him to? So one day in anger he asked Prahlad, "Prahlad, where do you get the strength to oppose me like this? Don't you know who I am? I am the most powerful person in the universe." And Prahlad Maharaj was completely unmoved, with his hands folded respectfully in front of his father, but nevertheless, most respectfully and boldly at the same time, he replied, "My dear father, the same person who has given you strength to conquer the universe has given me strength to be fearless before you. Who is that? Is that Lord Vishnu?" "Yes." Oh, he was very angry. "Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu, I am tired of hearing this Vishnu. Now I will teach you a lesson with my own hands. I will kill you and let me see how your Lord Vishnu comes to save you. Actually, as Prahlad was speaking to Hiranyakashipu, he was looking in at a pillar. He was looking away from from Hiranyakashipu. And naturally, suppose you are angry and you are speaking to one person, and then that person starts looking away from you and speaking to you, then you get even more angry, isn't it? So now Hiranyakashipu was getting even more angry that this boy is insulting me by looking away from me and talking to me. Then he noticed that Prahlad was looking at a pillar. So he asked Prahlad, "Where is your Vishnu?" He said, "Vishnu is everywhere." And he was looking at the pillar as he was speaking. Because Prahlad was seeing something inside the pillar that Hiranyakashipu was not able to see. Hiranyakashipu was only seeing one pillar made of stone. And when Prahlad replied that Lord Vishnu is everywhere, then Hiranyakashipu said, because Prahlad was looking at the pillar, "Is he in this pillar?" And Prahlad was watching him in the pillar. So he said, "Yes, Father, my Lord is here." So then with great strength, Hiranyakashipu struck the pillar and the pillar cracked. And when the pillar cracked, there was such a loud and terrifying noise. It reverberated throughout the entire universe. Even the demigods and the residents of the higher planet started trembling in fear. And they started thinking, "What has happened? The time for the destruction of the universe has not come. So what is this terrible sound that we have heard?" And they all came here to witness something very glorious. And then something most astonishing happened as far as Hiranyakashipu was concerned. The pillar cracked open and a very strange creature came out from the pillar. And he was huge, gigantic, even in comparison to Hiranyakashipu's size. Hiranyakashipu was very big and mighty. Remember, this was Satya Yuga. In Satya Yuga, people were very big in size. Today, we consider just somebody who is 6 feet to be very tall. But a 6 foot person in Satya Yuga would have been like a small dwarf. People were very huge, and Hiranyakashipu was bigger than the others. So Hiranyakashipu looked like a small dwarf in front of that creature who came out. And that creature has a strange form. And Hiranyakashipu kept looking at him, trying to size him up and see who is this person who has come out. And then he saw, here was a form that was half human and half male, half lion. The top part was of a lion and the bottom part was of a human being. And his mane, the hairs were touching the sky and scattering the clouds. His eyes were red hot. And he was showing his sharp teeth and he was showing his anger. And he had his claws extended like this. And he made such a screeching, loud, roaring sound that Hiranyakashipu almost, his heart almost stopped beating in fear. Who is this person? How has he just emerged from the pillar? Out of nowhere he has just come. But of course, all of you are superior to Hiranyakashipu because you are devotees. Even though Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, but everyone sitting in this room is superior to Hiranyakashipu because you all know the identity of that person who came from the pillar. Who was he? Narasimhadev. Shri Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki jai. And the Lord stepped out of the pillar and he moved towards Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu, having carefully observed him, now decided to attack him. And then when he attacked him, a battle took place. But it was an unequal battle. Who can fight with the Lord? Even though Hiranyakashipu may be very, very powerful from the worldly point of view, his strength was only atomic, like a small atom in front of the Supreme Lord's strength. But anyway, the Lord was performing his leela. He wanted to enjoy the veer rasa, the mellow of chivalry. Therefore, he engaged Hiranyakashipu in battle, and it went on for some time. And there were times when Hiranyakashipu thought that he was emerging victorious, but he did not think or did not realize that the Lord was just playing with him. Sometimes a snake plays with a mouse, catches him, lets him go, catches him, lets him go, and then finally catches him and eats him. Similarly, the Lord was playing with Hiranyakashipu and letting him go, and Hiranyakashipu was so foolish that he thought that he was more powerful than the Lord. And finally, because the Lord had been waiting for the right time, which was dusk, neither day nor night, so then he caught hold of Hiranyakashipu, lifted him up, carried him to the doorway, and he sat down on the steps. He placed Hiranyakashipu on his thighs, and roaring and roaring terribly, with his nails, he pierced the stone-like chest of Hiranyakashipu, and he killed him. And then he took out the intestines of Hiranyakashipu and wore them around his neck like a garland. And all the demigods had been standing from a distance, watching in great fear, because Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that they were afraid, just in case they were praying to the Lord, please finish him quickly. So in any case, in this way the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu. Now, we may think that the Lord descended to kill Hiranyakashipu, but actually that was not the real reason for the Lord's descent as Narasimhadev. He came to save Prahlad. He did not come to kill Hiranyakashipu. Now you may say, well, he saved Prahlad by killing Hiranyakashipu, isn't it? So what is the difference between the two statements? You are saying he did not come to kill Hiranyakashipu, but he came to save Prahlad. But he saved Prahlad by killing Hiranyakashipu. So what is the difference between the two? So why is it wrong to say that he came to kill Hiranyakashipu? It is not wrong. Because after all, in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna declares, Vinashaya cha dushkritam sambhavami yuge yuge, that I also descend in every age to kill the miscreants, the demons like Hiranyakashipu. But actually, the real reason for Lord Krishna's coming here is to save the devotees. Lord Krishna is, as I mentioned, Bhakta Vatsala. Therefore, for him, Prahlad is more important than Hiranyakashipu. As far as Hiranyakashipu is concerned, he can kill him in other ways also. But as far as Prahlad is concerned, can he not kill him in other ways? Yes, he can. But because his devotee is so dear to him, therefore he personally comes to save his devotee. Now we may think that the Lord was so angry. So what is the necessity for us to control our anger? Lord was angry, we can also become angry. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Kama esha krodha esha rajaguna samudbhavaha Mahashano mahapapma vidhinam iha vairinam. He says, Kama esha, krodha esha. This kama and krodha, this lust and anger, it comes from the mode of passion, rajoguna. Mahashanaha mahapapma. And this is the greatest enemy of the living entity in this world. And it causes the person to commit sinful activities. So lust and anger in this world are very dangerous enemies of all of us, because they come from rajoguna. So we may think that Lord Narasimha Dev also became so angry. So then was he also under rajoguna? Was he also under the mode of passion? Any one of you would like to answer? When we become angry, we are under the influence of rajoguna, the mode of passion. When Lord Narasimha Dev was angry like fire, was he also under the mode of passion? No? Are you sure? So your answer is that the Lord was not in the mode of passion because he came for a good purpose. But whether it was a good purpose or a bad purpose, anger is in the mode of passion. So what was Lord Narasimha Dev in the mode of passion? I'll give you another example. Suppose somebody kills another man. That is a horrible activity. But suppose he kills him and takes out his intestines and puts it around his neck after murdering him. Now that is an act in mode of which mode? Tamoguna, in the mode of ignorance. So now Lord Narasimha Dev also killed Hiranyakashipu, put the intestines around his neck as a garland. So is he in the mode of ignorance or not? What was your answer? Yes, he is beyond the modes of nature. He is in mode of pure goodness. Pure goodness means he is on the spiritual platform always. He is never contaminated by the lower modes of nature, of material nature. Not even sattva-guna. What to speak of rajaguna and what further to speak of tamaguna? Because these modes of material nature act only for conditioned living entities in this world. They do not act upon even pure devotees of the Lord. What to speak about the Supreme Lord? So therefore Srila Prabhupada in one lecture speaks and says that even though it may appear that the Lord was killing and he was very angry, we may think that he is under the mode of passion or ignorance, but that is never so. The Lord is always situated on the transcendental platform. He is ever spiritual. We should never compare the Lord's activities to our activities. We are ordinary conditioned souls, so our anger is driven by the mode of passion. But the Lord's anger is not driven by the mode of passion of this material world. But still, when the Lord's anger comes, it is so terrifying that even Brahma, Shiva, etc. cannot stand in front of him. Such was his anger. You see, we also become angry, isn't it? Srila Prabhupada, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I get very angry. What should I do about it? So Prabhupada said, you think about Lord Narasimha Dev getting angry with Hiranyakashipu. Then you will lose your anger. So the next time you get unnecessarily angry, you think of Lord Narasimha Dev getting angry with Hiranyakashipu. Then your mind will become calm. So why do we get angry? Yes, there is mode of passion. But because we are coming from Lord Krishna, therefore everything that is in us must also exist in him, in his pure state. So anger must also be there in Lord Krishna. It is there, yes, but on the spiritual platform. And when Krishna wants to exhibit this anger in an unlimited way, then he takes the form of Lord Narasimha and exhibits such anger, the likes of which have never been seen in history. Such anger that makes the entire universe tremble. Shiva, Brahma, Indra, all were afraid to come up. And when Lord Narasimhadeva came in, after killing Hiranyakashipu, the soldiers and the armies of Hiranyakashipu attacked him, and effortlessly, just by his nails, the Lord killed all of them, thousands and thousands of soldiers. And he was roaring and roaring. His anger was not subsiding. And even though he had now killed everybody, but even the demigods were afraid to come out from their hiding places. And finally, the Lord saw, nobody is here to welcome me. I have come to the kingdom of the palace now. I have and here and I want to sit on the throne, but at least they should welcome me. But nobody was there to welcome him because they were all so terrified. So Lord Narasimhadeva helped himself. He went and sat on the throne where Hiranyakashipu used to sit. And he sat there and began to roar and roar. And all the demigods were talking to each other, you go, you go, you go and pacify him, you go and speak some prayers. He said, no, 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 not me, you go. So like this, they were all passing the buck because they were afraid to come in front of such anger. Even Lakshmi Devi, when she was told, requested by the demigods, you are his wife, you please go. She said, I have not married him. I don't know who is he. Even Lakshmi Devi had not seen such anger. Finally, Brahma told Prahlad, who was standing by, completely fearless, without any tension, with great devotion, folding his hands and looking at the Lord. While the demigods were trembling in fear, Prahlad was standing calmly and coolly. So he said, Prahlad, you please go, go ahead, go. Without hesitation, Prahlad walked straight up to the Lord. No fear at all. And the moment Lord Narasimhadev saw Prahlad standing before him, all his anger subsided. And he became very calm and very loving. And with eyes full of love, he looked at Prahlad and placed his hand on Prahlad's head and blessed him. And then Prahlad began to offer very nice prayers in glorification of Lord Narasimha. And Lord Narasimhadev was very happy to hear these prayers. And then after that, then Lord Shiva came, Lord Brahma came, and they all started offering their prayers. So in this way, the Lord exhibited some very wonderful pastimes to teach us some lessons. Many lessons can be learned through the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Narasimhadev. But as far as the messages are concerned, the main message is that one should serve the Lord like Prahlad did, with great devotion, without any material motive, and surely the Lord will protect us in every respect like he protected Prahlad. The body may or may not be protected, because one day this body has to perish. But the Lord will protect our consciousness. He will protect our bhakti. And that is the ultimate protection that we need in our life. On this day of Lord Narasimhadev's appearance, anniversary, we can pray at his lotus feet that he may please be kind enough to bless us with even a drop of the devotion to him that Lord Sri Prahlad had. And that he can remove from our hearts all the unwanted things that are becoming obstacles in the path of our bhakti, of our devotional service. You see, anybody is very cheerful and big-hearted on the day of his birthday. If it is somebody's birthday and you go and wish him and then you ask him for something, he will happily give it to you. But if it is on another day, he may think twice. But if you go on his birthday and ask him, then he may give you, because he's in such a happy mood. So today is Lord Narasimha Dev's birthday. So today we can ask him, he's much more liberal. He's always liberal, but today he'll be even more liberal. Oh Lord, please protect us from all sorts of inauspiciousness and give us pure devotional service unto your lotus feet. Therefore, Lord Narasimha Dev is called Bhakti Vighna Vinashak. Whatever are the obstacles in the path of our devotion to him, to Lord Krishna, Lord Narasimha Dev removes them. This can be our prayer today. We have seen a wonderful Abhishek ceremony where the lordships, different deities, murtis of the Lord, the Navanarasimhas, also the Utsava Murtis, were bathed in many, many fragrant and other auspicious substances for almost 2 hours for the Lord's pleasure. So today is a day of great festivity. It is very nice that we have such a beautiful temple of Lord Narasimha Dev here. And also Gandharvika, Giridhari, Radharani and Krishna are here as well. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here. So I request all of you to please take full advantage of this and come here regularly, participate in the devotional programs here and make your life Krishna conscious and perfect. Sri Narasimha Chaturdashi Maha Mahotsava Ki Jai. Shri Narasimha Dev Bhagavan Ki Jai. Bhaktaraj Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hare.